All right, everybody, welcome back for another deep dive with me, your host.
And me, the expert.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about
Repair protocols.
yes, exactly, specifically in educational technology.
Right.
So
Big topic.
it is a big topic, and this is something that, like, most people probably don't think about unless they've been in the classroom and actually had to deal with it firsthand,
Right.
which luckily I have not.
Yeah, well, I think we can all relate to technology not working when we need it to,
Oh,
right?
absolutely. Yeah. Like,
That's a universal experience.
yeah. And I mean, especially when you're trying to teach a class full of kids or students or whatever, and something goes wrong with the technology.
Oh my
It's
gosh.
like the biggest nightmare.
Yeah, it's like the walls are closing in.
Yeah. So to help us, like, kind of go through this topic, we're going to be looking at an article called Cold Closure and Hashtag EdTech Repairs, which is a fantastic title.
Yes, very catchy.
And it's from this blog called HackScience.Education, which it's a great name. It sounds very official.
Yeah.
And it was posted March 9th, 2018 by Gary Ackerman.
Okay.
So, and yeah, like I was saying earlier, this is something that, like, everybody can relate to on some level.
Right.
So hopefully, you'll find this interesting. So
Absolutely.
let's imagine, like, you're a teacher, right? And you're in the middle of class and you're about to start this really cool interactive lesson using the smart board,
Okay, yeah, I've been there.
right? And suddenly, like, the smart board just decides to, like,
Take a break.
take a break. Yeah,
Yeah.
like, it's just not working. So you're like, oh crap, what do I do? So you submit a help ticket to the IT department.
Right, of course, that's the first step.
Yeah, you're like, okay, well, hopefully it'll get this fixed soon,
Fingers crossed it.
right? And so you wait and you wait, and then finally you get a notification that's like, your ticket has been closed. And you're
Oh,
like, great, it's fixed.
was.
But then you go back to the smart board and it's still not working.
Oh, no.
And it turns out that nobody actually, like, checked with you to make sure that it was actually fixed. They just, like,
Close the ticket.
closed the ticket. Yeah.
So that's what's called a cold closure.
Yeah, exactly. That's cold closure. And, like, this is a huge problem in educational technology
Oh, yeah, definitely.
because it can really, like, erode trust between the teachers and the IT department.
Absolutely.
Because, like, imagine you're that teacher. You spent all this time prepping for this really cool interactive lesson, and then the smart board doesn't work, and you submit a help ticket, and then you think it's fixed, but it's not.
Right.
Like, you're going to be so frustrated.
Of course, you're going to start to doubt the system.
Yeah, and not only are you going to doubt the technology itself,
Yeah.
but you're also going to doubt the people who are supposed to be supporting you.
Exactly.
And so then, like, the next time you want to try something new with technology, you're going to be hesitant because you're like, well, what if it doesn't work? And then I have to go through this whole rigmarole again.
Yeah, you're not going to feel confident.
Right. And ultimately, like, who suffers the most from that?
The
The
students,
students. Exactly.
they're missing out on those cool learning experiences.
Yeah. So, like, it's not just about a broken smart board. It's about the impact on teaching and learning.
Absolutely.
Now, on the other hand, you have something called direct closure,
Okay.
which is where a technician actually, like, talks to the teacher to confirm that the issue is actually resolved.
Right. So it's not just closing the ticket in the system, it's actually confirming with the person that they can now use the technology.
Exactly. And ideally, this would be done in person. Like, the technician would actually come to your classroom and,
Probably
like,
see it to
see it
themselves.
for themselves, yeah, and, like, make sure that everything's working. But, like, obviously, that's not always possible.
A phone call or even a voicemail?
Yeah, a phone call or even a voicemail would be, like, a good alternative. And
Right.
I think, like, even just that small act of communication can go a long way in building trust and confidence.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if you're a teacher and you hear from the technician, like, hey, I fixed the smart board, let me know if it doesn't work, like, you're going to feel so much more empowered to actually use the technology.
Exactly. You're going to feel like someone's got your back.
Right. And you're not going to be as worried about it, like, failing in the middle of a lesson.
Right, because you know who to contact, and
Exactly.
they've already shown that they care about fixing the problem.
Yeah. And another benefit of direct closure is that it can help to prevent those miscommunications that sometimes happen with help tickets.
Oh, yeah, I can see
Because,
that.
like, sometimes a teacher might describe a problem one way in the help ticket,
Right.
but then the technician might interpret it a different way.
Right.
And so they end up fixing something that wasn't actually broken or, like,
Or they miss the real issue.
yeah,
It's
exactly.
like a game of telephone.
Yeah, exactly. Things
Yeah.
get lost in translation.
Right.
And so with direct closure, you can avoid all of that because the technician is actually talking to the teacher and they can clarify any misunderstandings.
Right. They can make sure they're on the same page.
Exactly. And so, like, even though direct closure might seem less efficient for technicians in the short term,
Because they have to take that extra time.
Right. But in the long run, it can actually save time and resources.
I see.
Because there will be fewer repeat repairs, less back-and-forth communication, and ultimately more time for teachers to focus on what matters, which is teaching.
Makes sense.
So yeah, it's like a win-win situation for everybody.
I like it.
Now, the article also talks about some of the challenges of ticketing systems in general,
Right.
because so, like, ticketing systems are very common in IT departments.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty much ubiquitous.
Right, but sometimes they can feel more like a hindrance than a help,
I can see that.
especially for teachers who rely so heavily on technology.
Which is pretty much all of them these days.
Yeah, exactly. Like, imagine you're a teacher and you submit a help ticket, and then you get an automated confirmation email. And then you get another email when the technician starts working your ticket, and then another email when they update the ticket, and then another email when they close the ticket.
Wow, that's a lot of emails.
It is a lot of emails. And like, if you have multiple devices that need support, which a lot of teachers do,
Right.
then your inbox can quickly become like a nightmare.
Oh, yeah, you're constantly getting bombarded with messages.
Exactly. And so it's no wonder that teachers talk about inbox fatigue.
Right. You just start to tune out the messages because there are so many of them.
Yeah, and it becomes really hard to like sift through all of those messages and find the important ones.
Right. Like if you're looking for that crucial repair update and it's buried under a bunch of automated notifications,
Exactly.
that's stressful.
Yeah, and it's inefficient.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like we need a more balanced approach, right?
I think so.
Like, ticketing systems definitely have their place.
Right, they're useful for tracking requests and making sure that nothing falls through the cracks.
Right. But direct communication is also vital, especially in education, where time is so precious.
Absolutely.
And so, like, maybe the solution is to like redesign ticketing systems so that they're more user-friendly.
I like that idea.
Yeah, like maybe you could have personalized notification settings or like clear subject lines that signal urgency, or maybe even a system that prioritizes direct closure for those really critical can't wait issues.
Right, like if the projector in the auditorium is broken, you have a presentation in an hour.
Exactly.
That needs to be fixed.
Yes, Sam. Yeah, and so like the key is to make technology work for teachers, not against them.
Absolutely. Technology should be a tool to support teaching and learning, not a source of stress and frustration.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think the big takeaway here is that clear, direct communication is key,
I agree.
especially when it comes to tech support in schools.
Right, because it builds trust. Ensures that repairs are actually done right and ultimately saves everyone time and frustration.
Yeah, and that in turn allows teachers to focus on what they do best.
Which is creating engaging and effective learning experiences for their students.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, thank you.
So before we wrap up, I just wanted to leave you with a question to think about.
Okay.
How could communication between tech support and users be improved in your workplace or even just in your daily life?
That's a good question.
Yeah, like what strategies could you use to make sure that problems are truly solved and that everyone is on the same page?
Something to ponder.
Yeah, just something to think about. All right, so that's it for this deep dive. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Bye.